Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
We worship you tonight in your name, amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. Hey, before the voice sits down, your voice is incredible. Can you come here a second? I know you don't want this. You don't lead worship to be, but I was thinking right when I came in today and I was watching you lead worship. And just see your passion for the Lord. And I was thinking, my daughter is 18, and she has been asking now to travel with me to go speak, to sing. And that's really exciting, and she's learning some songs. And she was thinking about doing this tonight. She hadn't learned the songs yet. And I said, honey, it's okay. You know, do what you need to do. But I thought about whenever she sings, I'm nothing but pleased. I delight in it. I praise her before she goes up. I praise her when she comes back down. And this is like a brother thing. But I also worship with my older sister. She's our worship leader. And I love worshiping with her as well. And I get to boss my older sister around. That's good. No. I just love, and just like nothing but encouraging. And I really felt like, although it feels awkward, that the Lord wants you to be able to receive that encouragement. The full favor of the Lord, because the Lord really does give you favor. It's awkward, isn't it? Now, you can receive that because it's receiving, you know, it's not about pride. It's about just what we do with people we love. Now, this is a secret I've learned, and I know you can forgive me later. I won't do this. But I've learned that when you praise someone, usually the first time they go, yeah. And then you have to say the same thing again. And that's a great technique, by the way, especially if they go, like, say something sarcastic and like, okay, I'm going to say it again. I want you to know that God loves you. Father God loves you. He's pleased with you. He delights when you worship. He's given you an authority. That's not pride or arrogance when you feel like just I'm going to do what God's put on my heart. That's the authority God has given you. And I want you to be encouraged in Jesus' name. Okay? Love you, sis. All right. All right. All right. My name is Doug Birch. I pastor Evergreen Four Square Church, which is also in Auburn. I don't want to see any of you at my church, so don't. I guess spoke at places, and they're like, hey, where do you pastor? I'd be interested in going there. I'm like, what? This is my friend. So nothing personal, I mean. But I'm glad to be here, and I want, is this going to be, is this online? Is it streaming live right now? It is? Okay, I just want to say to everyone are they viewing or just hearing? Okay, I want to tell you, put some clothes on, okay, if you're watching at home. I don't care. We'll wait. I'm serious. Put a shirt on, dude. I mean, just come on. I know it's hot, but we all took the effort, okay? You're already at home. Put some effort in as well. No, we're so glad that you could join us. As well, I don't know if I'll be invited back, so I might as well just burn all my bridges as we go. I've also hosted a radio show for 5 years on 820 MKGNW, did about 1,200 shows. I quit in February, and so I'm kind of out of work. So if I talk for 8 hours, don't blame me. It's just I've had a lot of lately. Thankfully, nothing eventful has happened in the last few weeks, so there's nothing to talk about whatsoever. It's just completely just a boring summer. I want to talk about reconciliation. I am really good at arguing. Anybody really good at arguing? Some of you looked at the person next to you like you need to raise your hand because you are. I'm always right. I don't know. Are you always right? I'm always right. I mean, I'm not, but I think I'm right as I'm arguing. Some of you are lying to me. You think you're right, right? You don't go around going, I think most of what I believe is wrong. Like you have this idea that you're kind of right. And I'll just preach to myself, okay? I will repent by the end. I'll be up here. You can pray for me. But for me, my wife calls me the lawyer sometimes because I got like 4 points, you know, to why. I got scriptural illustrations. Like I'm just going back and forth, and I can argue this thing down. I'm I've I could argue this in front of the Supreme Court, change their mind on any of the decisions they've made just because I have such a power to argue. And my wife has this technique. I don't know if any of you have this technique. Is what do you do with someone who's really verbal and argues a bunch? What's the only way to shut that person down? You just be quiet, right? And then the verbal person gets more demonstrative and bigger, and you always and never, you know, because they're just like, I need to fight you on my terms. And so I'm good at arguing. I'm good at telling the truth. I'm good at Steve. But I want to talk in our, we have a lot of people talking about contend for the truth and speak the truth, and we need to stand for the truth. And I believe all these things, but I think we have to be careful about how we communicate the truth. Whether we are toxic Christians or we're reconciling Christians. And I think there's a big difference. And we live in a culture where we don't examine the spirit of our communication. Can you say spirit? Spirit. You better. I think there's some Pentecostals here. The spirit of our conversation. I'm spitting. I'm sorry. The spirit. Yeah, you're used to it. I know how Matt talks too. So the spirit of our conversation. I think what should be different in Christians is not just our truth, but the way we communicate our truth. We have been given the wonderful task of being reconcilers. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means to be reconcilers. I remember I was at Green River Community College. I went there, and then I went to the University of Washington. And I was at Green River Community College, and I was arguing with a young woman about evolution. And I was doing such a good job. I mean, I was getting all the points. I mean, I had like 7 different key points, irrefutable on why I didn't believe in evolution. And none of them were about like creationism or anything. It was just, you know, science and probability and blah, blah, blah. I'm just, you ever get where like, I'm on a roll. Some of you are praying for me. He's a very arrogant person, but I'm on a roll. Like, I'm like, bam, bam, bam. And I'm winning, 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 winning. And I'm not kidding you. I look up. And she has tears in her eyes. And I suddenly realized, if this is winning, I'm losing. And then I was communicating my truth, but there was nothing in what I was doing that was communicating the love of Christ. In fact, this was my only interaction with this woman. My only interaction, and I hope God, I don't know where her faith is even. Frankly, I don't even know whether she's a Christian or not. We're just going to figure evolution out before we figure out if you know Jesus. That's kind of how I was, right? But my only interaction with that person on the face of the earth, the only interaction I had with her was me tearing into her. You know, what we believe often feels like who we are. It's not always, but it feels like it. And when people attack what you believe, it feels like an attack on you. Well, I'm just talking about ideas. It's just nothing. Don't take this personal. When anyone says don't take this personal, something personal is about to come, right? Some of you know that in your marriage. It's like, oh, don't take it personal. I'm just saying I don't like the fundamental things that you believe. Don't take it personal. Don't be all emotional about the fact that I've tore down the core reason that you exist. So that's me. That's Doug with all my words and all my, you know, I have great elocution. I can say everything. By the way, I can't talk without moving my hands. I don't know if you know that. I have to do that. If you cut my hands off, I'd cease to exist. I have to do this. But I could share the argument, but lose the war. And I'm not coming here to make you feel bad, but you might feel a little bad after I get through. But I don't want you to end there, because this is where I am. Anything I preach, I don't know if you know, but I'm sitting, probably today not in the third row, I'm sitting way back there listening to myself speak. And by the end, there'll be some repenting for me to do as well, because we're so full of words and ideas and we got it figured out. And the longer you're a Christian, the more you kind of, yeah, I know the answer to this one. But maybe we're not doing what God has called us to do. We are to be reconcilers. It's not just what you believe, but how and why you communicate what you believe. It's not just what you believe. It's how you communicate what you believe and why you communicate. Why are you communicating your truth? And how are you communicating your truth? In fact, if you know why, it's going to change the how. Why am I arguing truth with you right now? For what purpose? That will influence the how. But let's get some scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. I think that's up there. What version is this? You know what you picked? So you're not old King James? And I'm preaching here? How dare... No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just kidding. Because that's what's important. Okay, let's read this. No, I'm just kidding. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one, say no one, no one, according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Can you say he is a new creation? In fact, that's in the Greek, it doesn't really give the he or she. It's almost like Tarzan language. Anyone in Christ, new creation. When Christ is in you, when you're in Christ, new creation. The whole world changes. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What ministry has Christ given us? The ministry of reconciliation. Now, you know how it's important when they say it again. Because sometimes Paul has kind of long run-on sentences, and he's like, just so you get this, I'm going to say it again. So it says here that he has we'll go 18 again. Now all things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God brought to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, or other versions say the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is ultimately this. There was a divide between us and God, and Jesus Christ bridged that divide. He reconciled us. We were dead, now we're alive. We were lost, now we're found. We were darkness, now we're light. Jesus Christ reconciled us. What reconciliation is, he brought us closer. He brought us into fellowship. In fact, he brought us into such fellowship that there's no need for an intermediary. You don't have to go through me to come to God. That Jesus Christ has become the access to Father God, so that we can all stand before God and hear his voice and know his will and participate in his kingdom. No super spiritual people. No hierarchy of who's more important in the church. There is one who has reconciled all of us, and his name is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we all have access to the Father. Equal access as sons and daughters. New creations, able to abide in the presence and the glory of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's got to be some people here excited about that. Because pastors say stupid stuff. So if you just got to go through me, you're in trouble. But you can bypass me. Through Christ, we have been reconciled. But then what is our assignment? Just to go to heaven and be glad about it? No, our assignment is what? To be reconcilers. As I've been reconciled, so I was brought into relationship with God. And so it's my job to do what? Bring people into relationship with God. Also, reconciliation could go not just between God, but what happens when your relationship with God gets... Suddenly these relationships get reconciled, right? Cain no longer kills Abel. Cain loves Abel. John says, the sign that you've been brought from death to life is that you love your brother. So as Christians, our ministry of reconciliation is going like this and this all the time. We are drawing closer to God, and we are drawing others closer to God, and we are drawing others closer to each other, so that we can live what Jesus prayed for us to live, is that we would be one. That we truly would be a reconciled community. That we would be one. Jesus uses the image, and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, the church itself would be one. Now that's a mystery, right? Because we have one God, but God is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we would have such intimacy and community that people would see one church reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our assignment. That's why we communicate truth. Truth is communicated for the purpose of reconciliation. If I see a lie, I am communicating truth so that not that I can be right and you can be wrong, not to protect your lie from my truth, but to actually bring you into the truth. Because I was dead and lost and full of lies, and Christ found me. And so I'm going to love you the way Christ loved me and still loves me. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's not just to be right, it's to be reconciling. I want you to, if you could remember one thing, I'll go all over the map and I'll forget to say stuff. But could you remember this? The goal is not to be right, but reconciling. not to be right, but reconciling. Not just to contend for the truth, but to bring people to Jesus. Is Jesus just truth? Is he just principles and distinctives and points of view? No, Jesus is God in our midst. And reconciliation had to occur through what? Jesus had to be present in our midst to reconcile us to the Father, right? It wasn't like, you know what? That Old Testament's getting a little stale. I'm going to write a new book. Everybody look out below. Let me give you your, I know, it's a nice Bible. It's too nice. It's like it's never been read. No, I'm just kidding. Just teasing me. That's a total judgment, right? I got my iPhone here and there. But it isn't like Jesus just, our God's like, I'm going to send down another book. Everybody move out of the way. Read it. Right? That's not how we were reconciled. I got some new principles. They'll turn into great laws someday. No. What was it? The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is called the Logos. Logos in Greek is idea, word, speech, discussion, reason, study. The everything was from the beginning and the everything was Jesus. And Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. And what did Jesus do? He reconciled us to the Father. So it's interesting, the Word became flesh, and then the flesh lived amongst us, and then we wrote down words based on what Jesus did, right? But those words don't have power unless they're made incarnate again, unless they're fleshed out again, unless the resurrected presence of Jesus enlivens those words. That's why we're given the Holy Spirit, right? So that we're not just bringing people the Bible, we're bringing them Jesus. We're not just bringing people truth, we're reconciling them to the Father. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, not to just be right, but reconciling. We don't just proclaim truth, we bring people to Jesus. The problem is, in our age, we have a partisan spirit. I'm writing a book right now on community. I don't know if I'll ever finish it, so at least I should say I'm writing it. Get some cred from that. We'll see how that works. I'm good at starting things, not so good at finishing them. Our church has started many ministry series that I've not finished. We're going to do a 10-part series that turns into three. I get bored halfway through. But I'm writing a book on community, and I'm in the book, I'm talking about the reality that we must never have Christianity just be about principles and ideas, but it must be about relationship. It must be about Christ in our midst expressed through the community and the body of Christ. But one of the things I'm addressing is the partisan spirit of our age. And I wrote a chapter on George Washington. George Washington, have you heard people like, we need to get back to the foundations of our nation. They wear wigs and stuff. It's like, we got to get down to the foundation. Which when they say that, you're like, well, what foundations, right? The foundations where we own people? Because that's pretty bad, right? I mean, we got to get back. God blessed us. Well, God blessed us when we owned people. So if you're saying, I think there's a problem with that. There's always been incredible, wicked, horrible things in our history. And there's been some wonderful, good things. It's not either or. But when people say that, you know, get back to the foundations, it's what they think those things are. So I was going back to the foundations. And George Washington, in his farewell address, he wrote a letter of, this is what I want the nation to think about. And it's very convoluted. It's done in the language where you're like, you can't tweet it. You can't tweet it. You're like, it's like sentences are three paragraphs long. You know, you just can't. And how relevant is it if you can't tweet it? I mean, really, how could that even be worthwhile? And so George Washington said one of the most dangerous to our nation is the party system, partisanship, which you don't hear Republicans or Democrats talking about this. It's like he believed and he said this is the danger. The party system feeds into the base nature of humans. And you end up just getting in these feuds and the goal. Overcome the bitterness of what you did, so we're going to gain power, and you're going to gain power, and we go back and forth. And you see that regardless of your political positions, we have embraced a partisan culture. We are a polarized partisan culture. Now, partisanship works this way. My goal is to win. Let's say we're on opposite sides of anything, and a partisan thing. My goal is to beat you. My goal is for me to win and for you to lose. My goal is not only for me to win, but for you to lose badly. My goal is to gain power and for you to lose power. My goal is for people to know that I'm right and you're wrong. There's nothing in partisanship that includes reconciliation. See, reconciliation, what's the goal? You're still wrong in this scenario, by the way. You're still. But maybe we both think each other's wrong. The goal of reconciliation is I want to have fellowship with you. I want to communicate in a way that you can find the truth. I want to abide with you. And you can't build a healthy anything with partisanship. You just can't. Because what do you do with the other side? Well, we just destroy them. We marginalize them. There's no end to that. And that's the spirit of an unredeemed world. We're not called to partisanship. We're called to reconciliation. And I want to bring this up because I think we're so much in a partisan culture that we don't realize how much we communicate in partisan ways. Partisanship is more to rally the troops. It's like, what do we believe? What are our distinctives? Who are we? That's okay. But it doesn't end there. The reason we want to know what we believe is our goal is to go find those who are lost and to love them into the community of Christ. Now, I don't know if that can be done with politics, but I know it can be done with Christ. We live in a partisan age and we must repent of that partisan spirit. Hear me, that doesn't mean you can't be political or you can't be registered Democrat or Republican or anything. That's not the issue. The issue is when I'm communicating Christ's truth, what's the goal? Not to win, but to reconcile. Now, reconcile first is I want you to find Christ. That's my number one goal. And if I'm in the political sector, I'm in the work sector, any sector, my number one goal is I want you to find Christ. That's the first goal. And you know if that's your motivation or not when you post that Facebook thing. Like, my goal is everyone who reads this finds Christ. Is that your goal? Or are you really upset with Uncle Larry? You're really upset with Uncle Larry. And you know when you post this, you got him. Because he's an idiot and you're right and here you go, like that. Is that your goal? Is Uncle Larry going to be like, wow, I really feel the love of Jesus? Or, here's the reality, people might not feel the love of Jesus, but would Uncle Larry be able to say, you were generally trying to help me feel the love of Jesus? Because you can love people and they still hate you. But the reality is, was that your motivation? Doug, was that your motivation? I don't like preaching to me. I'm just going to keep preaching to you. It's easier. What's wrong with you people? As a radio host, that was a tough challenge because most radio shows are geared on getting your group and every day talking about what your group agrees with and how nuts the other group is. And I decided to do a different show where you're welcome to be here and we're going to treat each other with a better spirit. And it was not supported well, even by management, on the Christian radio. Because to me, I want as many people in the room as possible to express the love of Jesus. And I want you to know how much I love you when I start speaking my truth. Because I'm going to tell you what I believe. But I'm going to tell it in the context where you know I love you. Our goal is reconciliation. And I think all of us, see, things are going to increase around us. And we're giving up our power and our authority because I believe partisanship is going to get stronger. I believe we're going to fight for our positions of power. Where can Christians shine, not just in our doctrinal distinctives, but that we have a different spirit? It's kind of annoying, those Christians. They keep making our fight not as fun. They don't get all riled up. Or they get riled up for different reasons. And I'd love to preach this at you. But we live in an age that just oozes partisanship, but we're called to reconcile. I just want to give some principles in reconciliation. Here's just one. Never separate truth from love. And there's no balance. People go, we got to balance love and truth. Baloney. Full truth, full love. Balance is one of those things like everybody tells you to be balanced, but what in the world does that mean, right? You don't, everybody defines it differently. Like it, but I think full truth, full love. Truth and love. Everything has to come in together, truth and love. And here's the challenge. If love becomes a secondary value, it ceases being love. Now, we live in a culture where it's easier sometimes to unite around truth than it is around love. Right? So you can find people who aren't Christians, but they believe in the same truth as you, right? And they don't really have a Christ-like attitude, but they believe in the same truth as you, and you unite around that truth, right? And we're like, this is the truth. And it's where people, let's say a term like evangelical. Evangelical used to be completely a biblical term. Now it's a political term. So someone could say someone like Mitt Romney is an evangelical. Well, he's a Mormon, and Mormons believe something different. And I know some Mormons have relationship with Christ, but there's some big differences. But for the world, they're all evangelicals. Why? Because we've united around our truth, but not around those deeper issues, those issues of Christ and love. So love can never become a secondary value. When it does, it ceases being love. And truth can never be a secondary value either. It's truth and love. Truth and love and relationship. Because reconciliation is I'm speaking truth in love for the purpose of you falling in love with Jesus and hopefully for us to have a relationship. I want everything I do to bring you closer to Jesus and hopefully closer to me in this, that I'm a safe person for you to grow in your faith. That's hard, right? But that's family. If you love someone, you don't give up on them. So as a radio host, I tried to talk about people as if they were in the room. Didn't always succeed. If they were sitting there, how would I talk? Even if I had a criticism, even had a correction, as if they were in the room. On social media, any post I do, I want to make sure that I'm posting as if people in that group are listening to me. I can tell who you love by what you say online. And if you say sweeping things about groups of people, that if that person was in the room, hurt, I can tell that you don't have someone like that in your life or you don't care to have them in your life. But if your goal is to reconcile, then you speak towards that weird cousin. Or you speak towards that angry uncle. Or you speak towards that, for me, you know, the super religious. I'll sometimes throw away the religious people, right? Ah, you're just religious. I'm just, no. God loves my super religious angry uncle as much as my total doesn't know anything about God or anything cousin. And I must communicate in a way where they know that I love them and God loves them. And yes, here's the truth. But even there, be honest. I mean, when did you change based on a Facebook post? It's relationship that changes you. So most of that social media is just to facilitate a safe enough environment so that if we want to get real, we can get real. And we can talk during a family reunion or we can go out for coffee when it's tough. Never speak truth apart from love, or love apart from truth. Never discard anyone. No one's to throw away. No one. People talk about winning. What is winning? Winning is bringing people to the light. What's winning? I mean, winning is, if you are dead, I want to bring you the life of Christ. I take no joy in winning over someone who does not know Christ. I have failed. I mean, I know it's in God's hands, but I want to feel like their soul has been entrusted to me. I want to have that passion, knowing it's been entrusted to God, but I want to speak in such a way because God has entrusted the ministry of reconciliation to who? To us. And so I want to make sure that I've done everything in my power not to win my argument, but to win you and bring you to Christ. Boy, I could talk forever on this, but there's a limit to this service, and there's no commercials, and it's not a two-hour program, so we're gonna try to launch. I know when pastors promise they lie, but we're gonna do it. We're gonna come down to something. Questions I have for you: just why am I communicating? That's a great thing to think about. Why am I communicating? I know a lot of you are doing this. You know, you write, delete. Get ready to do something. Delete. Like, if I'm writing because I'm angry, it's probably not going to be good fruit. By the way, this is why we get angry. We get angry when we don't have power or control or value. Anger is an issue of power, control, and value. And there's a lot of reasons to be angry, right? Because I don't have any power or control of what's happening around me, right? So we get angry. And when we don't have power and control, we get angry. Well, at least I can maybe hurt you. Because I can't do anything to control you, so at least I'll make you feel as bad as I feel. Maybe you don't do that. But when I've looked at my life, that's sometimes why I get angry. I can't control you. I didn't change your mind. You're still being a jerk. And I know how to hurt people. So I'm going to say something really Christian, but it's not to help you. You know, like, I don't flip people off. but I can give them that Christian wave. Means the same thing. You ever do that? Bless you. Some of you are so more sanctified than me. Like, I've never flipped anyone off, but if someone's doing something crazy, I'm not going to be mad like you. You're the crazy person. I'm the nice person. God bless you. That's a spiritual dang it, right? And it's just like, but not like that. It's why you're doing what you're doing. Why am I communicating? Why am I battling? I want to have a peace. God, I'm close to you. You're close with me. You've given me the ministry of reconciliation. You've equipped me for this season. I'm so glad I was born for this day. You've given me what I need to communicate the truth. I'm so glad. I don't have to defend my worth. I don't have to defend my truth. I just love. I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I love my neighbor as myself. I don't even have to know what's going on in the world. I'm just going to love you, God, with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And the goal is everything I do is to bring people closer to Jesus and closer to one another. It's in every relationship, in your marriage. I'm bringing my wife closer to Jesus. If the goal is she needs to know my feelings and she needs to know this and she needs to know that, the goal is everything I'm doing bringing her closer to Jesus? Am I bringing her closer to Jesus? You can do that whether they love you back, whether they understand. Am I bringing my wife closer to Jesus? That's the assignment of my life. Did I love her as much as I could? And did I bring her close to Jesus? And you know the best times to learn to do that is when you feel the most distance. It's true in your parenting. The goal of my parenting, I have four kids. My kids are perfect, like all your kids. And my kids are all a little better than yours, as yours are better than mine. You know how this works. But I got four kids. I love them dearly. My goal for my kids is not for them to obey my rules, not for them to get their room cleaned, not for them to follow through, not for them to make curfew. My goal is for them to fall in love with Jesus. It's not my house, it's God's house. It's not my rules, it's God's will for their life. My father would tell me this. He said, Doug, I'm going to be your father for a brief time. Through eternity, I'm going to be your brother. So I'm going to treat you like a brother in Christ. So I'm going to expect from you what God expects from me. And so I always treat my boys and my girls like the women and men they're going to become. Christ will lead me through them. And my goal is to bring them close to Jesus and close to me. An example of that, my kids really are better than me. That's weird. It's like a miracle. Like, I don't know. They were complaining to me about the data plan, that I need to use less data on my cell phone. They had a family intervention with their dad. We've been looking at who's been using what, and you have to turn off your data. They had an intervention to keep me from using too much data. What a crazy world. And I was so defensive, and I was so wrong. And they just pressed in, because I've always told them they could speak into my life whenever I'm sinning. And whenever, if mom and I are fighting, we're yelling, you can come in at any time and say, you can't treat each other that way. You have the right to speak. You will be seen and heard if Christ is in you. Because Christ is just as much in my kids as he is in me. I might have a little bit more wisdom to live in this world, but they got the same amount of God. And so I'm going to hear my kids. And so my son got upset and mad with his sisters for teasing him. And so they're great kids. And he goes down the hall and he slams the door. And he doesn't even really do things like this. And he slams the door and I'm like, right away, hey, come back here, right? Because I'm right and he's wrong. You don't slam the door. I'm right. I got the truth. He's clearly wrong. I'm right. He's got the truth. So I can yell at him because I'm right and he's wrong. So, hey, and I wasn't like, but I'm like, you can't do that. You know, saying the right things. And you know, even if you're upset with your sisters, you need to blah, 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 blah. You don't just do it. And we okay? We good? And so I can see his face. And he leaves. And I'm sitting there. Mm-hmm. Reconciliation. So I'm telling him that he needs to control his anger with his sisters by being more angry than him.
Yep.
But I get to be angry because I'm right. And why do you think he was angry? Because he's right. And so I went into the other room and I opened the door. And he was laying on the bed. And he doesn't show as much emotion. And frankly, he needs to be able to show more emotion. I mean, that's how you process. You want your kids to be able to show emotion at home, because when they get out in the world, and I go, Nathan, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled at you. And I told him that. He's a smart kid. I said, I'm telling you not to be angry, and I'm being angry with you. I go, I could have told you those things without yelling. There was no reason to do that. We still deal with the truth, you know, how we're going to. And I said, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Now, we do this in our home a lot. More than we should, and it's because I have to continually apologize. I'm going to teach him to apologize. Yes, your dad is that dumb. I'm going to come in again. We're going to work this sucker out. But he let me apologize. And I said, would you forgive? He goes, yes. And he came out, like, right away, and he was just a different boy, just full of life. And I thought, you know, that moment right there could be the moment where, you know, I just have this surly teenager, because we draw our line about truth. Well, I'm right. It's my house. Told him before. I'm not going to apologize. He should know better. And I've seen people lose their authority in their kids' lives for dumb stuff like that.
Amen.
Reconcile. My goal, bring him closer to Christ, bring us closer together. Bring him closer to Christ, bring us closer together. Well, how do you do that? There's love, forgiveness, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. There's truth and love, love and truth, truth and love. When you're motivated like, but what happens? We start, my rules, my regulations, principles, laws, truths. But if we miss the goal of reconciliation, suddenly we just become what? We become distant and alone. Every relationship. Greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know what's going on in the world. We could all argue about it. We'd all be right. We'd all be like, fat idiot. But what do you do in the end? Draw closer to Jesus. And be motivated to love genuinely for the purpose of what? Reconciling. That's where the truth comes in. Because it's not just like, I'm hanging out with you. You're going to look for opportunity to bring truth. That's why reconciling is important, because some people are going, well, if I love them, I won't be speaking the truth. Well, the goal of love and truth is I'm trying to move this relationship in a place where dead men come alive, where people in darkness find the light, where we become new creations in Christ. Can we pray? I'm going to ask your pastor to come up and close us, but I just want to pray with you. If anything I said offended you, I'm just human. You can go to God directly, and he'll help you out. He will. God will help you out. I think he'll confirm some of it. And the other thing I want to let you guys know, are they still on vacation, Crystal and Matt? How long will they be on vacation? Okay, till next Wednesday. Can you do me a favor? When they come back from vacation, don't do anything weird or stupid or controversial for a week. Okay? Just let them, when they come back, just be normal. Don't do one of those where they come back, the day they come back, the church just, chaos. Just try to just for a week. Just let them enter back in. There's something that happens with ministry. You're gone for a week, you come back, suddenly things are on fire. Just find a way. Just wait 1 week. It'll still be there, your grievances or whatever. Just wait 1 week and pray for them and pray that God bless them. But let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you're so good, Lord. You're so good. I want every person here to know God is just calling you near. That's the first thing. He's calling you near. You know what repentance is? He's calling you near, and then you got all this stuff in the way. And he's saying, if you want to come closer, just repent of that. I'm calling you near. That's keeping you from intimacy. That sin's keeping you from fellowship. That's keeping you. Just drop it. Drop it at my feet. Come here. Come here. I want to give you my love, my authority. I want to give you my calling. I want to give you my vision. I want to imbibe you with purpose. I want to give you everything that you need to be the child that I created you to be. I want you to come close. I don't want you to hide out. I want you to come close. And anything that's between you and me, I want you to place it down. Place it down. Let me burn it up. Let me cast it as far as east as to west. Repent of all the garbage that's not you, that's not for me or for you. And come to me. Come to me. Even tonight, you've been drinking. Come to God. Come to him. Find someone you trust and just repent. Say, I don't want this between me and God. Whatever's going on, you're on the edge of an affair, you're on the edge of something, then come to God, come to someone you trust and say, I don't want this in my life. I don't want this between me and God. I don't want this compartmentalized life. I don't want this. Repent and draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you. And then draw others. Draw others. I pray right now a gift for you. Some of you guys are like, Doug, you don't understand. There's family in my life that I don't trust. You don't have to trust them. And for some of you, it means even limited contact. But maybe for you, it's simply, I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, Lord, I offer them to you. Lord, I'm not going to give wrath. I'm going to offer them to you. And I'm just going to be gentle. It'll just be like one word. I'm not going to get into the fight, but it's not my job to be their savior. It's dependent on each of you. I'm not going to put any law on you. For some of you, it's just as simply as that you're just going to say, I hand them into your hands. And I trust you. But for others, the Lord is showing you things you can do. Scriptures you can write. Words you can say. Ways that you can say, hey, you know, I know everybody's upset. But I need you to know right now that my goal is that we would love each other. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep loving you even if you don't care what I'm saying right now. Because I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to find the love that I found. Lord, I pray blessing upon this congregation. I thank you for each man and woman here made in your image, set apart for holy and noble purposes. Holy Spirit, would you penetrate the hardest of hearts? I just pray for your anointing to fall. And this is just as an outsider. Sometimes I get to do this because I don't have any more authority but the authority you've given me, Lord. But I just pray just an extra blessing upon each person here, a renewal in their heart, a joy, a peace. You take away those anxieties, those fears. You've been feeling down and depressed. This world is outside of your control. I just pray right now, supernatural strength, that God would enliven your heart and the joy of the Lord would rise up in you. And tomorrow when you wake up, you'd wake up differently. You'd wake up like, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation and I have work to do and I have good things to say and good things to do. Lord, I'll be quiet. I thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. We welcome your presence and the ministry of reconciliation. And everyone got to say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Anything else, Pastor? All right. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Doug, for bringing that word. Thank you all for coming out. Why don't you stand up with me? Pastor Matt and Crystal took the word of the Building Christian Fellowship in California with Pastor John. So they're going to preach down there. So pray for him that morning that his word will cut deep. See, the thing about being a guest preacher is you get to come in and just preach whatever God put on your heart. And then because if you piss people off, you just walk away. It's totally fine. So you don't hold back. Amen. And so you know what's going to happen when Pastor Matt gets to let him have it, amen. So keep him in your prayers this week so they have safe travel and good fellowship while they're down there. And you got to come on Sunday the 5th. Now listen, I have it on good authority that people may be working on July 4th all night in whatever on the 4th. So you don't have an excuse to not be here on July 5th because they're going to be here on July 5th. So you should be here on July 5th. So I'm going to take attendance as you leave to make sure I can check the box when you come back. Invite your friends. That'll be a good day to invite friends on July 5th. Amen. Are you guys ready to pray? Lord God, we thank you so much for this mighty word that you've brought to us tonight. Lord God, I pray that it sticks to our hearts as we leave this place, Lord God. I pray that it will infect our hearts, that we could walk away from here and bring reconciliation and the focus on bringing people towards a relationship with you, Jesus, as we walk through in our Facebook feeds, in the store line, at our works, in our families, Lord God, I pray that we could take these words to heart, that we would not lose them from our hearts, Lord God, but that we would put them into action as a declaration from you that we can draw others into your presence so that they may be saved as well, Lord. We love you so much tonight, and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming out. We love you.
We love you, too.
Thank you.